All right, we are live at the Antlers on a Tuesday evening. Beautiful day in Sault Ste. Marie today. We got a great crowd on hand. Lakers coming off a pair of victories over Merrimack College. Tough series, though. It was not easy. 6-2 on Saturday night in the season opener. Great crowd for that one. And then 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, Lakers come from behind. Win it in the third period by a score of 4-3. Damon, let's break these two games down.
Yeah, well, I like where you started. I thought the crowd was fantastic Saturday night. You're not sure. I mean, hockey's been off everybody's mind for a long time, and we've still got some nice weather. So, you know, we weren't quite sure what to expect. We're a little bit late kind of working with our students and trying to get the Laker Legion kind of built up a little bit. But I thought the students, community, you know, it was a great turnout. And certainly we fed off that. I think the guys, even from warm-ups, had a lot of jump. And, you know, really liked the way we started that game. Or a solid first period and then really improved throughout the game. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of adversity we went through beyond kind of handling the early goals right back. And it was interesting all weekend long. As soon as one team scored, the other team would respond right away. And that's really can be a difficult thing. I think in some past years, maybe before last year, the momentum swings in those areas would have been hard for us to handle and deal with those. But I thought our team did a really good job. Even on Saturday night, we gave up the late goal at the first end of the first period. And you know, with a new group, you're not sure what the locker room is going to be like in between periods. But our seniors, our leadership group, really had a really good communication in the room. We were fine. Didn't panic, weren't worried about it, and we just went out and responded. And I thought our second and third period were really strong. I thought we really controlled the game from there on out. And so we liked a lot of good individual efforts. Certainly, you know, a lot of guys got on the board, which is kind of maybe an ideal start. You know, I think as a player, and you've all seen this so many years, you know, your top players, they want to get off to a good start. They expect to come back as juniors and seniors and even returning sophomores. You know, to get that early offense is really important for their confidence and the way they want to play. So that's good that we got that. And you know, you've talked about, everybody's asked about how are we going to score this year. It was nice to have some balanced scoring attack and a lot of different guys chipping in and contributing, and some guys that we thought could step up and emerge did that on Saturday and throughout the weekend. So, no, I thought it was a really good second, third period. We were happy with our game. I think we gave up 8 grade A chances. So, defensively, we thought we were pretty strong that way. I thought our rush defense overall on the weekend was really good for the most part, and that's going to be really important against Denver. Certainly they present some different challenges than Merrimack does, and continuing to defend the rush well and organize is going to be a really important aspect of it. So I thought, you know, when you look at a couple other areas, you know, the Hampus Erickson line with Yuki Miura and Pete Viet was outstanding. You know, I think Yuki was credited for 5 grade A scoring chances that he was a part of on Saturday night. So I thought Yuki, you know, just a really good step for him to start off and play that way. But I thought that line was outstanding. I thought our decor on Saturday in particular was really good from top to bottom. Sunday, you know, a little bit of a step back. I thought some guys were a little bit more up and down on Sunday in the back end. But they had a big impact late in the game, scoring some big goals and the game-winning goal from Collins. And so those were a couple of things that stood out. You know, Merrick Spinton's had did what we thought he would do and is capable of doing. A real good consistent effort on Saturday. Really, I didn't get any chance on either goal. We had a defensive breakdown in the second one, and the guy walked across the crease all alone, and Merrick's had no chance. The first one was off a block shot. Fell right on Grosick's stick there, and he buried it as he's able to do. So like Merrick's in net, and overall liked our team. I think when you go to Sunday, when you go home, and I know with the team and on the radio, you know, I didn't feel like live in the game. We were very, it was a great game for us. But when you go home and you watch it back, take the emotion out a little bit, we weren't as bad as I thought. There were some areas we didn't like for sure, and some areas we really got to clean up quickly. But I think overall it wasn't quite as poor as we thought. You know, I thought live in the game we lost a lot of 50-50 battles, weren't as tenacious or heavy on pucks. When you watch it back, it wasn't quite as bad. We certainly had some, and we need to be better. But the one area I thought we struggled with, I thought we were really good Saturday in our neutral zone offense and you know, just good poise and composure with the puck. On Sunday, I thought we had some unforced turnovers and they just couldn't calm the puck down and made some easy transition offense for them. So we want to be alert to that and clean that up going into Denver, but it was a good start, and that's the kind of start you're looking to get off to, so I'm glad we handled it. Love the comeback and the response we showed in the third period on Sunday for a big win and a huge sweep.
Yeah, and we scored 9 goals on the weekend, and 5 of them were by defensemen, including the 2 goals in the third period. I thought Rydell's goal was just pure shot ability. That was just a tremendous shot off the wall. And then Sackleman, what do you say about him? What a great warrior he's been for this team. He took a shot off the knee earlier in the third period and limped off. And I thought, man, we can't lose him. Don't be hurt. And he was right back out there next shift. And he goes down the ice on a 2-on-1 and scores a game-winning goal.
Yeah, well, and we had the empty netter to make it 10 goals, so it was a good start. You know, if you're going to average that, we're going to be pretty pleased with that offense. And as you said, I don't know if people follow after the game, but when we watch the game back, you know, we're always making sure the goals assist are accurate. Mitch Oliver did not get credit for the goal. It was a high tip by Alex Ambrosio, so Mitch did not arrive in the game. It was credited to Mitch. But when you go back, Alex Ambrosio had a great tip on that in the slot. Mitch had a phenomenal shot. Even though Alex tipped it, it still had a lot of velocity to get in. So we'll keep working with Mitch to get that first one. But you see what a threat he is. He's so good at the offensive blue line. He had a great assist on Max Humitz's goal as well, where, you know, he's looking shot. He's got really good deception to his game to look off guys and find shot lanes and very good that way. So he had a great assist on Humitz's goal. Ends up getting the assist on that goal instead of the goal. But, you know, he had a good opening weekend of college hockey for himself. Tyler Anderson had a big goal. He was a big-time scorer in his last year of junior hockey up in Prince George. So it was good to see Tyler Anderson get on the board early in the season there. And as you mentioned, Colin Sockerman, Lucas Kybel. You know, Jacob Nordquist on Saturday night was just at a different level. I thought Nordy was tremendous on Saturday night, just best player on the ice, you know, a beautiful goal on that power play breakout, walked in with just joining with speed late and walking right around one of their defensemen to tuck it in. So it's a group that's very talented. I think one of the things we want to do is continue to challenge them, to push them. You know, we can't have games where we think it's going to be easy or we're looking for those goals or cheating on offense. We want to be great defensively, make sure we're activating, joining from the right side of pucks and not, playing with fire too much on the back end. So it was good, you know, and that third period on Sunday, you know, that game-winning goal, Lucas Kybel and Colin Sockerman 4-on-4, you know, they were, again, just at a different level. It's a really good group. And we're excited to see where they can take us and where they can play, not only for that group, but, you know, what they mean to us in practice. You know, we kind of pull them aside at times and say, it's really important. You know, when we get to the game Friday and Saturday night, we want our forward saying, thank God we're not playing our D-core. With the puck touches, the tenacity, heaviness, we're looking for them to really set the tempo there because of their experience, because of, a lot of returning guys. When we get to Friday, Saturday night, we want our forwards kind of saying, like, goodness gracious, I'm glad we're not playing Tyler Anderson and Sacco and all these guys, Will Rydell. So that's something we've kind of challenged them with, and they've done a good job here early on, and we finally get more time. So even though we've seen a good weekend of production out of them, we think we can continue now that we are in our 20-hour weeks, skill development, extra work, extra shooting, think can really pay some huge dividends for our team and for that group.
Well, that's one of the things we talked about at length last week. We're going to go into a 2-game series with a young team from Merrimack, but we really haven't had very much time to work on anything. And I thought that kind of showed on parts of the game, power play in particular, but there were other things that are going to improve. They're going to get better now because you can spend some time working on.
Yeah, and we just yesterday was off for us, so, you know, with the Saturday-Sunday games and some of the rules, we still have to do an off day, so yesterday was an off day for us, so today was our first official practice, so it felt amazing. As a coaching staff, we kind of had giant smiles. You know, you're not rushing to get your 20 minutes in, 30 minutes in, and getting out of there. You actually get to stay after practice and do some extra work with guys in certain situational areas. I know tomorrow we're going to go out early with a group of guys and do some work, and part of that's that power play that you just mentioned. So it's a great time of year. You know, you're always rushing, and we finally get to breathe a little bit, spend more time with our guys, and especially in a place where they really like to be. You know, they love to be at the rink, they love to be on the ice. We love it. Best time of the year right now, and again, you're feeling good because you're coming off a good weekend.
Yeah, you got a young team here, we mentioned, in Merrimack, but you know, it's a 2-game series. I thought they played really hard. Scott's got them playing heavy. They're trying to be tough. They're trying to man-to-man coverage in the defensive zone. I thought they adjusted, did some things differently Sunday than they did on Saturday. that's a lot better than playing a couple of exhibition games, even against a Canadian school or or playing somebody like even the under 18s. I'd rather play somebody who's going to play me hard.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a valuable weekend, you know, and I think they're going to make some waves and they're going to see really good growth. It's a young group, and Coach Bork will do a good job with them. So I think where you see them down the road, and you know, this year, and you know, it's going to be a good class. They've got some real good elements in that decor. Grosick up front who can score. So I thought it was a really good challenge. You know, one of the big adjustments they made on Sunday, and some of you fans early on, we really struggled with it. You know, they really laid back in the neutral zone. They would still kind of forecheck with their first forward, but then their wingers and their D really held the red line, stayed back, really passive look. And we struggled with the puck early on. So we tried to make an adjustment there and maybe underhandle pucks a little bit more, play a little bit faster and get north with pucks. And I thought as the game went along, really that adjustment was after the first period. We're trying to let our D kind of settle in and get back on track. But after the first period, we kind of underhandled pucks, played a little bit more north quickly. And I thought that started to turn the tide. And really the big momentum shift was at that penalty. You know, losing Max Humitz is not an easy thing to overcome. A really critical player for us, obviously, and then we all know Max is not a dirty player, so a little bit of an unfortunate hit, and he kind of put himself in no man's land and got his leg out on him, and Max actually played junior hockey with him, so they were pretty good buddies, but we learned how to work again. You know, Saturday night we came out, we worked, you know, it was the first game, there was energy, and then Sunday, I almost feel like we thought we could just sit back and play with skill and be it easy, and they were more tenacious than we were. So that 5-minute major where you got to work, you got to outwork guys and out-hustle guys, you know, we use that in between periods and say that's what it's got to be, 5-on-5. And you know, I thought the light bulb went out a little bit third period, so it was good, a good point for us. And you know, penalty kill did a good job early on.
Yeah, penalty kill was pretty strong all weekend. I was going to mention the human situation too. A lot of fans wondering if he can play this Friday. Yes, he can. That's a game misconduct, not a game disqualification, so it does not carry over. He will be playing on Friday night, which is good news, because I thought he had a heck of a first weekend. He had 2 goals. That second goal was spectacular. I mean, he's a really good hockey player.
Yeah, he is. He's looked good. You know, he understands what's at stake, not only for, you know, our team, but for himself. You know, we all know these guys are playing, certainly still eyes on Lake State and what they're doing here, but they do have goals and aspirations and understand the significance of, getting off to a good start, having a good season, to try to put themselves in the best place they can for a professional career and signing a contract after the year. So Max had a great summer. He's very dominant most days in practice. I think fans are going to love to see what he does all season long. I think he's really ready and prime for a big year, and it was a good weekend. He can be better and will be better too, because that's just the way Max is. He's never satisfied. He's a very hungry player. He every weekend he's watching clips back. He's got extra ice. He does all the things right. It's one of the reasons why he's one of our captains, and we're looking forward to a really big year from him.
Yeah, and he was on a line with Ashton Calder. Ashton didn't show up on the scoreboard much. I think he had a couple of assists, maybe at least one on the weekend, and he was kind of frustrated around the net a few times, but I thought he played really well. He's going to be a good player for this team as this season goes on. He's in the right place at the right time a lot. He's hard-nosed. He's not afraid of traffic. And I think Louis Bedone, he's going to learn. Louis's a freshman. He was, out of position a few times here and there. But that line played pretty well. And you mentioned Erickson's line. They were outstanding.
Yeah, we've got some good depth up there. You know, it's kind of funny, Bill. You mentioned, Ashton and maybe not his strongest weekend or didn't show up. He had 3 assists.
You know?
So it's a quiet 3-assist weekend's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So, he's a good player, and that's a good line. And, Louis Bedon set up one of the goals on a really good forecheck. Obviously, you're asking a lot for a freshman to come in and play with guys like that. And he's filling in there right now and doing a good job with those guys. But no, Ashton, yeah, can he play better? Yes, everybody can play better. And that's our goal every day, to work with these guys. But, we'll take 3 assists out of him. And does so many things. You know, he's killing this year. He's one of our key faceoff guys. As a lot of the fans know, he played on the wing most of the year last year. I think he does consider himself a natural center. And so early on in practices, we were kind of bouncing around, trying to find the best chemistry and where he fit best. And, right now he's down the middle, and I think he likes that. And he's been very good down there as well. So we like where he's at as well. And obviously finished great last year, and we're looking forward to him to just continue to improve and get better for a big sophomore year.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the Laker Hockey Show. We're a quarter of the way in. We're going to have Ian Johnson join us late in the program tonight. Damon will get out of here, and Ian will take over as Max Humis did last week, so stay tuned for that. And we'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show live from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back for the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. What a great day we had in Sault Ste. Marie today after the weekend when it was so cold. But it's that time of year. We get a great fall day. We all love it. We've got some questions from the fans who are with us tonight, as we always do. And my favorite question here has to do with, remember last week when the fans wanted to know where Matt Pocket was? Well, Matt Pocket's here this week. Now somebody wants to know where Mark Santangelo is.
He's already replaced, eh?
Mark Santangelo, well, he's probably home right now and happy he's there. We've got some questions here, though, Damon. We're going to stick with this Max Humis thing for a moment. There's one thing that a lot of fans, I heard some comments on this sort of thing after the game the other night on Sunday, but there's one just a comment on the Humis penalty. Well, we've talked a little bit about that, but what's your observation on that five-minute major penalty to Max, who got ejected from that game, and yet Merrimack had a player who punched our player intentionally and got a two-minute penalty out of it? I don't really recall that play, but yeah. I think there was a lot of – I know there was a lot of stick slashing and some stuff like – that's typical
of
hockey.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a decent weekend. I know Coach Bork didn't like – I think when Yuki Miura beat out the icing and set up the goal off of it, but I – you know, watched it back a couple times. I thought Yuki won the race to the dot. I thought it was a great, great play by Yuki, first of all, to negate the icing by his hustle and his speed. So that was a big play there. You know, it's going to happen. You're back and forth a little bit. You know, I don't have an issue with the Max call. I know it was not intentional, and so I think that's my struggle a little bit. You know, we know Max well, and I'm not sure how many penalty minutes he had last year, but it wasn't many, and he's not a dirty player. It was not intent. Like, he leaned in with his shoulder and tried to get shouldered, but he had a wide base, and so they did connect, you know, probably Max's knee into the thigh of 22 there. So, you know, did I love the call at the time? No, but I think watching back, I know why they did it. I thought Saturday night there was a you know, a bad knee attempt. Fortunately, I think Owen Guy mostly got out of the way of it, but Owen Guy still was impeded. I thought it should have been a call. I didn't like the look at all. So, you know, it is what it is. There's calls back and forth, but no, I thought it was an okay call. You hate to lose Max, certainly, and a guy like that, a captain, you don't want to lose him for the whole game. But I know what they're trying to do, and I didn't like one earlier. We ran a rush play, and two guys were kind of nose-to-nose yapping a little bit, and we had an odd man break or an odd man rush, and they blew that, and I'm like, you know, let it play out. Just separate them and go. But, no, I thought they did a good job. I thought it was a good start. Obviously, their first game of the year as well. You know, I liked where it was at for the most part. I like the observation you made. I'd like more of the stick work out of the game. I'm not a fan of the slash and the hook to the hands. I think we should protect the player with the puck on a stick and you know, play an offensive puck possession game. So that has a little bit of you know, a pet peeve of mine, that we don't protect the puck carry more than we do. Like in the NHL, anytime a stick gets lateral, touches the hands, it's automatic, and the players, you know, adjust and play the right way. So I think we can clean it up from our way. I actually just you know, I guess take my spot on the National Advisory Committee. I'll represent the WCHA it'll be a head coach from each league along with some of the rules supervisors. And we'll do at least a monthly conference call and just talk about national issues, what we're seeing. So, you know, I just talking to the other head coaches from our league, you know, let me know what you guys see in conference, non-conference games. And, you know, we'd still like to work our way towards a national officiating body. I just don't know if it's very doable with the geography of college hockey. But there are some inconsistencies from league to league, and I think as coaches it's challenging when you're going out and you're getting refs from different conferences, or they're coming in, you know, you never know what you're going to get. So that'll help. I'll be at least aware of some of the national issues and you know, be a liaison between that and our league.
We have a lot of it seems to me over the last 2-3 seasons, a lot of new officials in the WCHA too, or guys that I haven't seen that much in the past, or a lot of officials who are now referees who were linesmen. I'm always kind of surprised that a guy like Jamie Grace isn't a referee. He's been a linesman for a long time now. And Eric Froberg, same thing. We had those two this past weekend. They're usually really good. I think they missed an offside or two on Sunday there that we were talking about on air. But, you know, that's going to happen. Yeah.
I thought Jamie and Eric were in.
I thought they were good.
Yeah, I thought they were in midseason form. You know, we see those guys a lot. You know, they tend to do a lot of the games up north, and we won't have them this week. And I think they said they're maybe over in Houghton there. No, I thought they did a good job. And again, I like Scott and Shane too. They are a little bit newer to our league, but Scott's a little veteran of reffing, and he's got him paired with a little bit younger guy in Shane. So I thought it was a good start. You know, I liked what they did. They had real good communication, and they actually came in Saturday before the game to address our team. It's not a rules change year, so there's not many rule changes. But for me, it was really just, I want my players to know how to address them, when's a good time to approach them, and just have a healthy relationship on the ice. So I thought that was a positive thing for our guys to see that, and liked it. I thought it was a good opening weekend.
All right, you're listening to the Laker Hockey Show tonight, live from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten, the head coach of the Lakers. And we've got more questions from our fans. Damon, how important will the power play be this weekend against BU?
Well, it's going to depend. Certainly it's a big match, 5-on-5, and they're a team with great mobility, and they can skate up and down throughout the lineup, a really mobile decor. So, yeah, certainly creating scoring chances 5-on-5 is going to be a challenging thing to do. We like the size matchup. We've got some size and weight on them, so we would like to make sure we're playing heavy on pucks and hanging on to pucks and protecting pucks really well and try to wear them down a little bit. We think that's an area that we can try to have success at. But obviously if it turns into a special teams games, you have to convert. I know we got one in the weekend. I think we had 7 opportunities, maybe 1-for-4 and 0-for-3 or something like that. So, it's been a different approach this year. The last 2 or 3, maybe 4 years, we've had the best power play in the country through 2 months, 3 months. We've been, 30-40% coming out of the gates, just really ridiculous. And, so we're pacing ourselves a little bit more earlier on here by design, working a couple more guys through. And we want to have some flexibility. Even if things are going well, we might throw a new guy in or a new look just so things don't go stale. And, things are so pre-scouted these days as well that people know what you want to do. So, a little bit by design. We're not concerned. We had some good movement, some good looks. That 5-on-3 on Saturday, Lucas Kybel had a great look. 2 guys taking eyes away. Goalie never saw it. And I don't know if it hit the goalie or Sockerman in front, but, we were fine. We generated some good looks, had a nice power play goal on the rush by Jacob Nordquist. If we have some chances, it's probably going to be a big impact if we can score against Denver and, increase the lead or hang on to a lead. So special teams will be a big part of it. And obviously, if you flip it around, they've got a ton of skill on that roster. Dangerous up top with some defensemen, some good forwards down low. So our penalty kill is going to have to really be on to defend them.
Yeah, they're a very good team. Denver University is ranked in that USCHO poll that's early in the season. And that's somebody at USCHO's opinion. But we got them ranked number 2 nationally right now. And they just won 2 games up in Alaska. They won 4-3 on Saturday night and 3-0 on Sunday afternoon. So they're coming off a couple of victories, although you got to think that if they fly out of Fairbanks to Denver and then get ready for us and fly over to play us, they don't have a lot of prep time in here. They have less than we do to get ready.
Yeah, you wonder what kind of impact that has. I mean, they're coming from mountain time zone, so that change going up to Alaska is not quite as difficult as it is with the 4 hours we deal with. And I think them playing at altitude, they're certainly a well-conditioned team, and shouldn't have a major effect. But certainly we hope that the travel can wear them down a little bit. Obviously you look for any advantage that you can in any series, but certainly when you welcome the number 2 team in the country, you'll take any break you can get. So we want to make sure, they don't get comfortable Friday night and, give them space and time and let them possess pucks and feel really good about their game. We want to play in hip pockets. We want to have a physical presence to our game and, really deny them the time and space they like to play with.
All right, we're at the bottom of the hour. Don't forget we've got Laker Hockey Talk coming up this Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. That'll be right here on ESPN 1400. Damon and I will be discussing exclusively getting ready for Denver at that time. And you can join us for that as well. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on East Portage on ESPN 1400. Welcome back to segment three of the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on East Portage. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. And we've got a lot of things to talk about here. Damon's going to get out of here in about 15 minutes. We're going to be joined by Ian Johnson, a senior player for the Lakers. You know, you mentioned a few moments ago, Alex Ambrosio gets credit for that goal that we all thought Mitch Oliver got. Mitch took a heck of a shot from the blue line. Evidently, Alex got a piece of it. Nobody corrected that till after the game. So we're just learning about that. But I thought Ambrosio was really good on the weekend. There are a lot of players who played well who maybe don't get a lot of credit for that. I think Erickson's another one. Hampus had a goal and four assists. He was a runner-up for Offensive Player of the Week in the league this past week. By the way, Michigan Tech got all three awards because they scored so many goals out at Robert Morris. So they had the offensive player, the defensive player, and the goaltender. But we had some guys play really well, and Merrick Smittens was runner-up for goaltender.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought Alex up because, you know, we agree. We thought he played a tremendous game. You know, it's one of those areas where guys are, you know, competing for where they're going to be in the lineup, who they're going to play with, what are their roles going to be. You know, he's a guy that's got some, you know, flexibility to playing center and wing, can take some face-offs, good penalty kill guy. You know, Alex, when he was playing his junior hockey, was you know, the best player on Coquitlam team, played for Jason Fortier from across the bridge. And, you know, Jason was a key piece in us getting him here just with the way he spoke about him in the locker room on the ice. And, you know, Alex has taken a really nice step this summer. You know, he's bringing it consistently, a ton of energy, ton of tempo. Like, he was unbelievable late in the game Sunday with the one-goal lead, made a big slide back door to block a shot, kind of desperation play there. And for him to get a goal early on, I think confidence-wise is really nice for Alex. So he played really well, had a strong game. I thought Brendan McKay bounced back Sunday, had a really good game Sunday after a bit of a slow start Saturday. You know, I thought Ian Johnson went in and played well. You know, a little bit harder for Ian than, you know, Miro. We pulled Miro Muka. Miro had a goal and assist, and then, you know, comes out of the lineup. That's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, we told Miro it wasn't based on his play. You know, we've got other guys, and we still have other guys that we need to get in, want to get in, have the ability to help us, and it's going to be challenging to do those things. But, you know, Miro came out and had a really good game on Saturday night. I thought Ian went in, played really well. There weren't as many minutes there because of the type of the game. We had a five-minute major. Just before that, Will Rydell out of penalties, so we had about a seven-minute span and about 9 or 10 minutes of game time where we had to kill penalties, so it was a little bit more challenging for Ian to get some of those minutes. But when he did play, I felt he responded, did a good job. And so, you know, he's right there with a couple other guys that are, you know, will continue to shift a little bit, figure out who's going to be the best version. It might be based on an opponent. It might be based on the last game you had or practice. So it's a good spot to be. You know, same thing on the back end. We got a couple defensemen that we need to find a way to play. It's going to be really hard to figure that out. I'm not sure, you know, probably means dressing seven defensemen more so than pulling somebody out, because that, those playing six last weekend, I thought were really good, and some good chemistry established, things like that. But, you know, we've got guys we want to get in, so you're going to see some changes. It might be a head-scratcher like Miro. There's probably a lot of fans wondering what the heck we're doing. Usually you don't pull a guy out who has a goal and assist, and again, he didn't deserve it. He played extremely well. We just have some other guys that we want to get in and give them a chance to, as well. So, you know, a lot of things still to work out lineup-wise.
Yeah, you look at, in fact, that was one of my questions I had for tonight coming in. It's how tough it is right now for a freshman like Michael Manera, and also Samandel and Bennett Vita and Arvid Henriksen. It's tough to get in that lineup right now. Those 6D that are in there, and Mitch Oliver, I thought he played like he'd been playing for 3 years here. I know he's a junior, but he hasn't been playing.
No, Mitch was impressive, you know, and we weren't quite sure. You know, we saw him practice all year. We would talk about him. You know, we knew there's a lot of things we really liked about his game, and you know, one of those being that poise at the offensive blue line. He's got tremendous vision. Mitch has not a lot of defensemen can get all their pucks to the net. Like, it's really hard in today's game to get pucks through, certainly that first layer, but all the way through. And Mitch has just a real natural ability to get pucks to the net, so he's very dangerous. You'll notice his head's always up. He always has the puck in a shooting position. So, you know, people who are defending him have to make sure they're in shot lanes, which all of a sudden opens up passing lanes. So Mitch had a really strong weekend. But like you said, you know, you mentioned Manera and Vita, Arvid Henriksen, Alex Amandel. You know, we need to get these guys in. They deserve to be in. We're going to look for opportunities to do that, but it's not easy. And then same thing up front. You know, Nico Esposito Silivanov has been good in practice. Robert Pluger has practiced really well as of late, especially, you know, those guys come in and they're learning where they're at. You know, we saw it a little bit last year with some guys like Owen Guy, Miro Muka. You know, it's a little bit different now than it was a few years back, where depth, you know, maybe wasn't where we liked it to be. And, you know, these guys, you know, hopefully they can stay patient and stay with it. It can get challenging to keep your confidence up, but we like these guys. It's a good group, you know, and one thing we commented early on in the game Saturday is, you know, we think we have a very smart team. You know, when you watched our poise, when you watched our reads, when you watched some of our zone exits, our guys understand the game of hockey, and that's a really good spot to be. You know, you can give up maybe a little skating, a little goal scoring. You know, you can back off a little bit when you're evaluating, when guys have elite brains, and that's something we really tried to focus on, is bringing in smart hockey players, and I thought that really showed this weekend, and we hope it continues to look that way.
Yeah, there's another guy, I haven't really mentioned him, but I thought he played real well for you both games, and he's a smart player, and that's what I notice with him. Not the fastest guy in the world right now, but Owen Guy played really well, I thought.
Yeah. You know, and Owen's interesting. You know, he missed some time development-wise, you know, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years ago now. He left Ottawa to go down to Cedar Rapids and play down there. Got sick, got injured, had to go back home to get surgery, missed some more time. I think he ended up leading his Ottawa team in scoring, led them to the Royal Bank Cup, which is the Canadian, you know, national championship. You know, he's a very good player, very smart, very skilled. And, you know, we probably, you know, maybe didn't do a great job last year with him. If you all remember, Hampus Erickson got injured early, broke his leg. And so Owen Guy kind of got inserted very high in the lineup when Hampus was out. And, you know, that's not easy to do. And I think, you know, that was a little bit of a challenge early on. And, you know, we could have handled it better, done a better job of maybe being more careful and just throwing him right up there. And then when Hampus came back, you know, it kind of bumped him down, bumped him out. So it's a very difficult thing to handle off the ice. You know, did a great job this summer of kind of rededicating himself, having a tremendous summer. He's been really good early on. And you see the IQ, you see the skill. You know, we like where he's at. And, you know, we've got to find a way to get him on the power play, because that's one of his, you know, really top abilities as an elite power play guy. So we're looking for some spots to get Owen some opportunities there. But he's played very well early on. You know, he was on a line most of the week with Basilico and Manns until the Humid penalty. And we like that line a lot as well. They did a lot of good things.
One of the other questions the fans have here tonight concerns face-offs. Do you have concerns? We lost a lot of face-offs on the weekend, especially Saturday night, but bounced back a little bit more. I thought you mentioned Brendan a few moments ago. I thought he was a lot better on Sunday on the face-offs than he was Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I think our stats, I think we had an opposite. I think we ended up being 53% on Saturday. I want to say Friday, Saturday, because I'm still confused by the non-traditional games there. But I think we had our team 53% on Saturday, which is just under our goal, 55% per night. So we didn't quite hit our objective there. And then on Sunday, I think we were 57, 58 from what we had. So, you know, we actually liked our team better on Sunday that way. You know, I know Coach Sizek with this penalty killing group is tracking things a little bit differently for that group as well, and really putting an emphasis on being, you know, much higher than that on the penalty kill. And, you know, they did a really good job that way as well. So Brendan took some really key faceoffs, did a good job. You know, Dustin Manns went out. He's playing wing right now, but he's more of a natural center. Manzi went out, took a couple big faceoffs, won them. So, you know, no major concerns. Do we need to work on it? Absolutely. And that's one of those areas where you don't get time early in the season because of those limited hours to do it. But that's something, you know, we'll start really ramping up on. A lot of that's post-practice or doing some split groups. But we'll start grabbing our guys. Mike York was a faceoff specialist. Not only in college hockey, but in the NHL. So Yorkie will start doing a little bit more work with those guys and helping them out and showing them some things, and I think that'll help them as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Diego Cuglietta was outstanding in faceoffs last year, and he had a little knack. He knew how to cheat a little bit and get away with some stuff that you're not supposed to do, but he did it so well that he won a lot of draws just because of that experience. And that's kind of what we need right now. Just a little bit more experience will be a lot better at that angle of the game. We got a game coming up at Notre Dame in a couple of weeks' time. It's going to be nationally televised on a Friday night. It'll be on NBC Sports, which would be 779 here on our Spectrum cable in Sault Ste. Marie, but that'll be a great opportunity to expose Laker hockey to the nation of college hockey fans, and it'll be a tremendous opportunity. But We've got a question here from a fan who says, will the school have a promo spot in that national broadcast? Because we were the only school that didn't have one at the GLI last year. All the other schools were touting themselves and what they do academically and what they do athletically, and we didn't have anything like that.
Yeah, up to about 7 days ago, I'd have no idea on that question. You know, I coach hockey, and I don't know much about anything else, you know, and hopefully I know a fair amount about that, and many of you question that. But we were just talking about that. Also with the GFL game that'll be coming up in February against Alabama Huntsville over at Memorial Gardens there. Part of that's contractual, so I'm not sure in the GLI contract with, you know, whoever carried that, if the fourth team in that situation or the visiting team down at Notre Dame, there might be contractually a couple of spots for us to do that, and I know our team is looking at that now. And again, I just learned about that. I don't get to watch the game on TV, so I have no idea what's going on, but they are looking at that, and we hope to be prepared to take advantage of that if contractually there is a spot for Lake State. And like you said, that's big publicity for us, and we want to make sure we're ready to sell Lake Superior State University.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. At the GLI, we're the odd man out in that thing. Those other three teams are always in that tournament, and Michigan Tech's one of the hosts of it. So, you know, they probably don't give you that visiting team. If Wisconsin were in, they wouldn't get a spot either.
Yeah, that's my guess. I don't know on that one. I don't remember seeing it, and it'd be more of an athletic director or sports information. And again, they are on it, working with the NBC sports team. So if we get a spot, we will definitely be taking advantage of it.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's a good answer to everything there. We've got Great Lakes State weekend this weekend. It's homecoming of sorts. It's it'd be nice if we had the weather like we did today. I don't think it's going to be that way, but that's a big deal. And there's an alumni dinner on Friday night. There are all sorts of activities. There are volleyball matches. There are tours of campus. A lot of folks come back. I think the one thing it means for hockey is it's probably not going to pressure us in any way with hockey, but it's going to mean a big crowd both nights.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's just so much life and energy. It's an awesome weekend. You know, the women's walk is also that weekend. That's a great event. We've been able to, you know, grab a little piece of that just with our preparation. You know, the tribute to Dr. Saluja is something I'm really looking forward to. And anybody who went here, certainly our hockey players, the majority of those guys spent time with Dr. Saluja. Probably didn't like him back when they were students, but they can appreciate now how impactful he was on their education there. So a lot of great things going on. Certainly our focus will be on Denver and prepping for that. I know Bo Cheeseman's up here for the weekend with his youth team, and so we're looking forward to having Bo back, you know. And
Darren Madeley,
yeah, that's right. They're up here as well. So, it's going to be exciting, and you know, it will be a full house. So we're really looking forward to it. Obviously, you know, really important to our team to feed off that energy in Taffy Abel, and it's going to be an awesome weekend of hockey. You know, a great team coming in, and you know, a big challenge, and we're looking forward to it. I think we're ready more and more each day. We understand, you know, what they bring and some of the things they do so well. Some areas that maybe we can look to take advantage of, but great weekend of hockey. Doesn't get much bigger or better than this.
How do you guys decide now? You got to sit down with the coaches and you're watching practice all week, and you know what you saw last weekend, and you've looked at film on the games. How do you come up with your lineup for Friday night? I would think goaltending is probably set, the D is probably set, but what do you do up front there to make sure you get the right lineup to play against a team like DU?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, you're always looking. You know, nothing's ever set. You know, you have to perform and earn it day after day. There are going to be some guys like Colin Sockerman that, you know, he's going to have to really struggle for a while for him to maybe get the hook. You're going to have some patience there. Fortunately, he's not. He's playing well and ready to go. And, it's just evaluation day by day. You know, you watch every day. You know, a lot of days right now we're taping practices so that we can go home, and there's still so much teaching going on early in the season. So, you know, we'll tape practices, and, you know, certainly when you're on the ice, either talking to a kid or running a drill, you don't pick up everything. So it's really interesting to go home, and, you know, sometimes you're way off on what you thought you saw, and sometimes it kind of backs up what you did see on the ice there. But, you know, every morning we're in, and, you know, by 8:30 we're designing practice plan for that day based on pre-scout, based on some things we want to get accomplished. And, you know, a big part of that conversation is our lineup. You know, are we missing something? Do we have the right chemistry? Who should be in? Part of that is based on our opponent. You know, if it's a good skating team, we might put a little bit more of our better skaters. If it's a big, heavy team, it might be some size, you know, things like that. But it's a daily conversation, and, you know, it's a challenging thing to juggle and handle. But, you know, it's something we spend a lot of time on. I don't sleep very much right now. It, you know, your mind's always turning about power play and lineup and things like that. So it's a great time of year, and, you know, we enjoy having those conversations. And they're healthy, you know. Mike and Zach and Mike Guggen aren't afraid to come in and say, you know, this guy was really good, or, hey, he struggled. Why is he here? We have some really, really deep, healthy conversations, which I think is good for our locker room and our lineup.
Well, it's a big weekend coming up. Denver is a very good hockey team. They can skate. They've got a little bit of size. Good luck mixing that up a little bit. But it'll be fun, and it'll be great to have that many fans in the building. Friday night should be a huge crowd after that alumni dinner, and it'll be all right. It'll be fun.
Yeah, Great Lakes State weekend is here. So everybody keeps telling me the weather's going to change, and I haven't seen or looked at that yet. We're just looking at hockey, but it's all right. We're going to win a couple games, scare them out of here, and it'll all be part of a great Great Lakes State weekend. So we're looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to seeing Nick Meldrum, too. Nick was our student manager when he was here at Lake Superior State. He's now the equipment manager at DU. He's been there for a long time. He's been through a national championship with them, and he'll be back here and on that bench on Friday and Saturday nights. And a great young guy, did a good job for us when he was here. We're going to take our last break, and Ian Johnson is going to join us after this. We'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show, the fastest hour in radio. This thing just flies by every week, especially when you're winning. It's really fun when you got a couple of victories behind you. And now a senior hockey player for the Lakers, Ian Johnson, is going to join us. And Ian, I don't know if you've been on this program before, maybe a couple years ago when you first came in, but you've been around a while now. And one of the things I really wanted to ask you about tonight is the locker room. And that's, you know, you're in there all the time, whether you're in the lineup or not. And maybe talk a little bit about what it's like in there, compare it maybe to last year or maybe your first year here at Lake Superior State, what the chemistry's like, and just what the environment is like in that locker room.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've been pretty fortunate in all four of my years. We've had a pretty pretty great locker room while I've been here, and there's been some great friendships and great relationships being made. I almost think that almost every year it's almost gotten better with just some of the new guys we have coming in and some of the guys that got older in the locker room. I think especially last year with the great season we had, it was really easy to have a very positive and you know, all togetherness in the locker room. So I think we all really enjoyed that. And you know, those seniors last year did a great job in kind of setting the tone about what it was going to be like and the kind of character we were going to have in the room. So I think it was pretty easy transition into this year. And I think so far, at least, it's continued, and it's just it's a fun place to be. It's nice to break up kind of your school day or forget about things you have and come in the locker room and joke around with guys and go on the ice and work hard and then come off and have some more fun. So it's definitely it's a really nice locker room, and it's always fun to go in there.
Yeah, and it's not a cliquish locker room at all. You don't have five guys over here or three over there or something, and it's kind of – it's an international locker room. There are eight guys, international players on our team. We got guys from Slovakia and Germany and Sweden and Japan, and everybody gets along really well on this team, and there are no cliques.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of almost the opposite of cliques, as guys are yelling at each other across the locker room, and it's almost so much yelling from side to side going on. Everyone wants to talk to each other, and every once in a while, the Europeans try and speak their own language to each other. We yell English at them, so try and keep as much English in the locker room as possible, but it's a fun place to be, and I really enjoy being in there.
Yeah, I would imagine maybe those Swedes, you got three of them, they can kind of carry on a conversation, and you don't know what's going on. So.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of want to learn Swedish without telling them and then kind of eavesdrop and see what they're saying without knowing and catch them by surprise. So
now talk a little bit about yourself. You've been here for 4 years. This is your fourth year now. And talk a little bit about your background, like where you're from and where you played junior hockey and how you wound up at Lake Superior State.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that already a senior. It feels just like yesterday almost that we were sitting in the towers as freshmen, kind of learning the ropes about university. But I'm from Ottawa, Ontario, so it's about a nine-hour drive from here. One of the Canadian guys on the team. I played hockey kind of locally. I started off playing for a junior A team called the Kanata Stallions, and they were just 15 minutes away from my home, and I played there for 2 years. And then my final year of junior, I was traded more to a more competitive team in Brockville, which was about an hour and 15 minutes away from home. So that was kind of my first billet experience and living away from home. So I was there for a full year, and it was nice because I was away where you're billeting and you're on your own for the first time. But if you ever wanted to go home, it was only about an hour drive away. So I was able to come back pretty easy. But from there, I ended up committing to Lake State, the start of my 17-year-old year. So I kind of played almost two full seasons knowing that I was coming to Lake State. And so that kind of takes the pressure off, and you can kind of just enjoy yourself knowing that you already kind of have that commitment in the bank, which is a kind of very, very lucky thing to have. So I was able to have, three successful and fun, really fun seasons in junior before coming here at Lake State as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, now why did you choose to play Division I college hockey rather than maybe go the major route, or maybe you didn't have that option, I don't know, maybe your parents wanted you to go to school, but what are you majoring in, and how's that going? You're going to get the degree in May?
Yeah, so I'm going to get the degree in May. I'm a finance major, so I'll be very happy to have that with me, and I think the biggest thing for me once I kind of knew that I had the opportunity to do something with my hockey was the ability to get kind of an education while playing hockey as well. And I think just I don't really personally see a better route where you're able to get that education and still play an insanely very competitive and high level of hockey. And I think you see now more and more that more guys from college end up going on to play at the professional level. And so, if you can get that really competitive hockey as well as getting that education paid for as well, and usually you're able to play kind of late, a bit longer at a competitive level, where if you go major junior, you're done at 20 years old. And if you're not playing pro then it's kind of over for you unless you go to a Canadian school. So I think just be able to play longer, get that education, and still play competitive, and you come out a bit older and you kind of have a better chance at that pro if it's there for you at a bit of an older age. I think that's really appealing.
Well, not only that, you got that degree, and if you have to go to work, you're going to get a lot better job than you would if you came out of major junior and you don't have any education behind you. Although a lot of the major junior A guys now, they sign those schoolboy contracts, they'll go on and play at a Canadian university and get it paid for, and that's where teams like Alberta and Manitoba and Toronto are pretty darn good hockey teams.
Right, yeah, I think they're getting a lot better at attracting the major junior players with that schooling option as well, so I think Canadian hockey is definitely getting a lot stronger, and I think it will continue to do that if they keep offering that school, because it is, finally they're starting to attract players with that as well.
Now, you came into the lineup on Sunday, you didn't play in Saturday's game. It's not easy to jump in there that second game, and yet I know you were chomping at the bit to play, but you came in as the extra forward too, so they're inserting you throughout the game in various positions. You're playing with different guys. I don't think you've played with the same guys on any shifts, but what's that like as a player to try to – it's a good thing you know the systems. It's a good thing you're a senior because you know where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, it's definitely probably a bit of a harder position to be that extra forward just because you don't exactly know when your next shift's going to come and who it's going to be with. So you kind of have to kind of stay on your toes, but you also kind of see it as an opportunity that sometimes if, maybe one of the top guys in the top six just finished killing a penalty or they're on the power play, sometimes you sneak in there with a top line. So you kind of just got to wait and see when the coach is going to call you and who you're going to go out with. So you kind of got to always be ready, but just sometimes almost you get a bit more of an opportunity with some different kind of players in different lines.
How do you prefer to play the game? What do you look at yourself as a player? Do you look at yourself as a defensive player? I kind of look at you as being a guy, if you could get the puck in the right spot, you can score.
Yeah, I definitely I had some good offensive seasons in junior, but transferring over to college, I don't think I've been able to have that same production that I maybe would have liked to, and I think that's something I struggled with in the first 2 years. Is I just kind of wanted to play on the offensive side and just kind of what you're used to. But I think kind of as you grow, and especially being the college level and especially playing in the WCHA, it's really defensive hockey. And so that's kind of the area of my game that I try to work on the most. And, if you're kind of a guy like I have been that's been on the bubble in the lineup, I think the best way to get in and stay in is to be really, really strong defensively and work from there. So I've kind of been more focused on the defensive side. And if goals or points come, then that's kind of a bonus.
How do you prep for a game? How do you get ready every day? Like, let's say it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on game day. What is Johnson doing to get ready to play that night?
Oh, I've never been a person that's able to nap, unfortunately, no matter what, even if it's game day or just any kind of day, I can't nap. And so I'm probably different than a lot of other guys where they kind of have the routines and they go home and nap at a specific time. But for me, it's kind of just anything to try and keep myself busy. I don't really like sitting around and just waiting for the game to start. So sometimes I go for a walk. Sometimes I'll watch a movie, something like that, but just something to just feel like I'm just not killing time and waiting there. So Sunday's game was nice that it was earlier, so there's a lot less time between morning skate and the game. So that was pretty easy. But I'm not as superstitious as some other guys and have a routine. I kind of just every day kind of do whatever I feel like doing that day, I might want to do, and just kind of stay busy until it's time to go to the rink.
All righty. Well, we're out of time here, unfortunately. We could talk for another 20 minutes, I think, about the game itself and about Lake Superior State. But Ian Johnson, we thank you for joining us. Good luck this weekend with DU.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We're out of time here for Matt Pocket, who did a great job again tonight. Damon's gone. For Ian, Bill Crawford saying so long till next Tuesday night with another Laker hockey show live from the Antlers on ESPN 1400.